Welcome to the Lizzen Events podcast, and today we've got a very special guest, my great friend I've known for many, many years now, Mr. Alan Wood. Welcome, Alan.
Hello, Ian, and welcome everybody else. Okay.
Good. And Alan's going to be talking today about how the Native American Indians are going to be contemplating this present crisis. And Alan has spent many, many hours in the United States with many of the tribes. So he'll have quite a good insight into how they're coping and how their dynamic and their thoughts upon it. So, Alan, over to you.
Right. So, as I said, good afternoon, everybody. And today I would like to talk about how COVID-19 is affecting Native tribes across the USA and Canada. To start, let's look back to when the first Europeans first came to America, what they call Turtle Island, including Canada and parts of Alaska. When the Pilgrim Fathers first stepped foot on the East Coast, they encountered a very well-organized way of life amongst the eastern tribes of the United States. However, after a short time contact with the Europeans, after a short time, diseases that the Europeans had brought with them started to take its toll on native populations. Measles, whooping cough, smallpox, and other illnesses spread like wildfire, killing off well over half, or in some cases, most of the native populations. And native people neither had any resistance to the diseases. Even the common cold could be disastrous to them. So today, across the United States, they are like everyone else, trying to cope with the current crisis. In Alaska and other native communities across Canada and America, COVID-19 affects 3.5 times more people than any other groups, like the Hispanic or white Americans. So native people who live in large urban areas are at the same risk as other non-native peoples in large cities across the United States. So it seems that on some reservations, the tribal leaders have had to completely lock down to try and stop the virus spreading. Like everywhere else, this is having a serious consequence for the people on the reservations. These people are amongst the poorest and some of the most deprived people in the United States, and diseases and viruses do not have any cultural, social, or ethnic boundaries, so can easily spread globally and across the United States and Canada as everywhere else. Personally, I do feel a great sense of hopelessness, not being able to be in South Dakota with my many friends at this time. Spiritually, I am always there, though. Native people across all of the US and Canada have always had a very close connection with Mother Earth. Their spirituality has always and still does keep them in connected to Mother Earth and the beliefs in nature. Today, they still practice these beliefs in the 21st century. Powwows being one of the ways that tribes from all over the US and Canada, even in from Mexico, come to these gatherings right across the United States in the summertime. The sun dance, sweat lodges, and other sacred ceremonies also take place, and these give them their sense of community and their closeness to Mother Nature and their spirituality. Sacred mountains right across the United States and in Canada are also vitally important to these people. These have been connected with their well-being and their faith for centuries, way, way back before even the first Europeans were coming to America. All these celebrations and all these customs were banned by the United States government and Christian ministries in the 1860s. But today, they have managed to keep them alive by being driven underground. So they are now back on the circuit, and they are doing very well with it. They are how could I put it, trying to reconnect with a lot of their old customs. This can be quite difficult for them at times because a lot of them today are now practicing Christians of one denomination or another. And on the reservations, there are a lot of particularly Roman Catholic churches. So some of them do have a slight conflict of choice over what happens. Going back to their traditional native ways or sticking with what they have been taught about Christianity. But I can honestly say that the people I've encountered out there take this on very well, and they seem to manage between the two. And a lot of the Indians now are abandoning the Christian ideas and are reverting back to their more traditional spiritual ways. This is in no way any disrespect. These people are connected to Mother Earth, to Father Sky, and to God anyway, and have done so, as I've said, for thousands of years. They understand nature and they understand everything about it and how to live and work with it. And hopefully this will see them through this crisis. It is important that people do stick together and keep the contacts. So I do email regularly with all my friends over in South Dakota. So their ancient ways and practices can bring them through this pandemic, believing in the power of Mother Earth and the Great Spirit, and Wakantanka, which is Lakota for the Great Spirit. So to sum up, so as all the Sioux nations say, Mitikoyu or Yasin, we are all related. And on that note, I will end. To the people who are listening on the podcast or look at it, keep your faith, keep your hopes up, and let's hope that next year that we can meet at the shows and we can take things forward. I'm looking forward to it with great enthusiasm. It's been a long, long, hard year for many, many people on the planet, including myself, where I've lost quite a few friends, not to COVID, but to other illnesses and diseases. So let's keep our fingers crossed and let's hope that by about the end of December, there will be new vibrations coming in on the planet from the Ascended Masters that might give us some hope and encouragement to move forward. We've got to stick together in this because we are the people who have got to take the message out of spirituality and the traditional ways and spread it to other people. We've got to have that hope, because without the hope, we're going to be lost. So to all my friends, thank you for listening. And I will look forward to seeing you soon. All of you, have a greater Christmas as possible. And let's keep our fingers crossed for next year. Thank you. Goodbye.
Alan, I want to ask you a few questions while we're still online. And I'll put your goodbyes on at the end. We'll edit it through. So there's no problem, problem doing that. Alan, do you feel, I know that you have a great deal to do with other spiritual communities in the area, in Warwickshire, where you live. And I know that you spend a lot of time talking to people of many different religions, and something, this is something that brings you an immense amount of pleasure. Do you feel that the messages that you're getting from other spiritual communities is very cohesive at this moment in time? Are people really singing off the same hymn sheet?
Yes and no. A lot of my friends are very suspicious about having this vaccination. I know this is quite a sore point with a lot of people, but I do hear, not just from people of different faiths or what have you, but generally everybody, there is a mixed reaction to this. And it's one that I don't make any comments on it because everybody seems to have their own opinion. But talking of spirituality, I have a lot of Sikh and Hindu friends in this area that are very, very good and loyal friends to me. And they're all of the same spiritual persuasion that we need to stick together and we need to focus our attentions to try and help all the people, either on the emotional side of things or, if possible, by being practical and giving practical help. So, yes. That is very true, Ian.
Do you feel that people can take solace from meditation and just settling down their mind and separating themselves from the day-to-day, from the mundane to Friday, and just literally focus upon their inner being and their self? Do you think people would benefit from that at this moment in time?
Most definitely, Ian. Meditation is one of the best things that you can possibly do. You find yourself a quiet place, go there. You either sit and relax or you can lay down. It doesn't matter what you do, providing you can switch your mind off and focus inwards and clear everything from your mind. I know it's not easy because even I find it very difficult, but with practice, it gets easier. We really do have to look after our soul as well as our physical beings, because the two go together. We're in a body at this point in time having this, what I would call a dream. But it's so important to make your connection with the higher self and the beings of light, because eventually we will all return there. And it would be nice to make the connection, so knowing that they are with us on this difficult time.
Are there any simple rituals that you could guide people to help at this moment? Could they burn a candle? Could they just focus on a few words? Is there something that you would suggest that somebody could actually do tangibly to make a difference, to make changes to their spiritual being?
Yeah, it depends also, Ian, on what level of spirituality the individual has. Some people who are on a spiritual journey are also very religious. So lighting a candle in a church, if that brings them comfort and solace, then that's fine. They can also do this at home. Also, if they've got the sage, and anybody who's been to my talks and has watched me do my smudging ceremonies, and I've told everybody this, how to smudge, they can do that. This will also not only clear negative energy, but it brings a peace and calmness to them. So, again, it depends on what the individual has. Some people like to hold crystals and use them. I like to have moldavite, which is very, very, very powerful. And it works really well. I mean, other stones and gems, as you well know, Ian, some have healing qualities. Whatever the individual needs or whatever they find can bring them comfort, I would recommend.
And important to avoid personal conflict with those that you know?
Yes. Avoiding personal conflict with people is not always easy, is it? And I'm no philosopher on this, because everybody has got to go out into the world and you are going to come across people who are very negative. And this is one of the things that I find myself at this point in time, I'm trying to overcome. There are a group of books that I have written by two people, Gary and Cindy Raynor, and basically they talk about how to learn to forgive on a spiritual level so that you're not focusing so much on the here and now in the material world. You're taking your ideas and learning to forgive what the world is and what it is so that you can move on from your past. So sometimes it's not always easy. You're going to end up having a confrontation maybe with someone. It might not be bad. It might be just a slight disagreement or an argument over a point of view. But these are all things that matter. So, again, don't take too much to heart. Try to get to the point where you can look down on it and think, yeah, let it be. They have their opinion and I'm on my journey. Because eventually, we'll get to the same goal. Mm.
Alan, you spoke to me a few weeks ago and you said something that stuck in my mind and something that might be difficult for some people to take on board because of the present situation. But you said to me, when you really think about it, Ian, 1 year in the whole of existence is just completely insignificant. It's more like a grain of sand on a beach. And people should really consider this and put it in perspective that what actually happens in our lives, even a year, is only a very, very short blip in the time of existence or even civilization.
Yeah, that's true, Ian. It is because time, spiritually, time doesn't exist. Time only exists in the linear time frame that we put it in on this planet, or in the physical universe, as I like to call it. But beyond that, time doesn't exist. So what events are happening now, at the moment in time, are certainly real and certainly, as we have just discussed, very problematic. But in the overall sense, it's just another, as I say, it's like a grain of sand on a beach. And you look down that beach, and that is infinity. And we, how can I put it, it's difficult for people to comprehend this. And I think that for the more advanced souls and people who are more spiritually aware, they can grasp this. But there's an awful lot of people who do not grasp this. Even some of the people that may come to the shows are not yet on that level. So it can be very difficult for them to understand. So I would say that you've got to sympathise and have empathy with people. It's all right being a know-all or saying, yeah, well, this is the fact and this is that and this is the other. But you've got to look at it from their point of view. And if you're on a spiritual journey, you have got to give them the, how can I put, not just the encouragement, but the empathy to be able to understand their where they're coming from, and allow them that time. And it's up to the individual then whether they take it on board or not.
Alan, do you think with so many millions of people in a place of discord and place of uncertainty, do you think that the vibrational thoughts of all these negative thoughts, do you think that they accumulate, and do you think they damage the spiritual world? Do you think they have any effect upon it?
This is an interesting question, Ian, because this is one I often used to talk to Jim about, my Qigong teacher and master healer. And he was quite adamant that negative forces do have a massive impact on the planet and with people thinking. But in the last 100 years, this has changed. And with people now becoming more aware spiritually, particularly since the late 60s up until the present day, there's been a massive change on the planet, and the vibrational energies are now as such where it's starting to turn slowly, I wouldn't say in our favour, but it's starting to change the, how can I put, I'm trying to think of the correct words here, Ian, for the listeners, that it is not all bad. So we've just got to keep our minds focused on this and to stay steady, because as I say, negativity does have a big impact. And a lot of it's to do with the ego. The ego does not like losing control, and it will use any means it can to keep people focused in what it wants to do on the material and on the everyday life of what their lives are. And this is the world we live in. So in a sense, people have got to understand this. But with enough practice and enough people thinking spiritually and meditating, this can eventually and will turn round. It might not happen in my life or in the next lifetime, but one day it will happen, Ian.
Mm-hmm. Alan, on a similar subject, do you believe that there are people who are lost and feel extremely uncomfortable? And one of the reasons that they could feel lost is that their deep inner being, their spiritual being, is asking them to search for more information, for more connectivity. What I'd say is that, you know, perhaps somebody's just on an earthly plane, Monday to Friday, materialistic, and they might be feeling out of sorts. And actually the feeling that's causing discord is the fact that their inner being is saying, search, I need to have more. Do you think that's entirely possible?
Yes, very much so. We've been conditioned in on this planet, particularly in the last 100 years, and it's accelerated in my lifetime today, where you don't have time to sit and think and have time for yourself, because the world is such a rat race. You've got adverts, TV, news. You've got all this being thrown at you, and none of it is positive, what they're hearing. So people's brains are taking all this in, and I would call it, we're being dumped down by the powers that be, if you like. So the individual, a lot of people are lost, and they do want to look for something, but they don't know where to go in. They're like souls wandering around in a desert, a ghost, if you like. They exist on a certain level, but on a higher level, they don't exist. And this is what they're searching for. And it's up to the people, such as myself and other people who are on this level, to be able to be there and show them there is another path, and it is possible to alter their lives and bring in more peace in with that. Even I have these problems in. It's not an easy one. And just because you think you're on a spiritual path that everything's going to be rosy, I'm afraid to say that it's far from it. In fact, sometimes I find that being on a spiritual path is a damn sight harder than it is when you're not on one. From the point of view, you are aware of what's going off and what you've got to do. And it is hard, but you've got to really stay focused. And you've got to give people encouragement. You've got to give them something to hope for, to carry on forward in their own lives.
Yeah, you see, it's interesting. If you remember many years ago, we had a conversation. I was talking to George, the Aborigine guy, and I said to him, what do you feel about all of the Europeans who have taken over Australia? And he took another swig of whiskey and he looked around and he said, we'll still be here when you're gone. And if you remember, you said, that's a very similar story that you heard, or on the other side of the earth in America, when you were talking to a Lakota. And it's a profound statement, isn't it? Because that statement doesn't even just say, well, you know, we're watching you and you can't continue with the path that you're taking. And that has become so self-evident over the last 12 months, hasn't it? That, you know, if everything that we are being told is accurate, we're a fragile race. We could be easily wiped out by one disease, because that's what we are being led to believe. We don't have to go into the accuracy of it here. But when you talk to the likes of George and he just sits there and takes a swig of whiskey and says, we will still be here when you're gone, that is a profound, profound statement. And also, it's a statement of immense knowledge and ability to have patience, because he wasn't necessarily talking about himself, was he? He was talking about his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren, who will still be there when we have gone. Very interesting. And I was talking to somebody yesterday evening, and I won't go into the ins and outs of it, but it was from Australia. And Kay said to me, most of the Aborigines have gone bush. Nobody's stopping them. Profound, isn't it?
Both profound, Ian. You see, when I mentioned in the talk a little bit earlier about the Native American tribes, today you've got a very big diversity of Native Americans' way of life in America. As I said, a lot of them have moved out of the reservations because they've been brought up under the Euro-American way of life. They've gone into the big cities and they now are, how would I put it, not all of them, a lot of them do go to powerhouse, even in the big cities, and they do try and keep the customs. But there's an awful lot who don't, who have lost their cultural identity. They've just become the average American, if you like. And I find this sad because we have robbed them of their true self-worth. And as you've just pointed out with the Aborigines, Ian, they have said that they will still be there when a lot of the other people on the planet will go. And some of the Native Americans are saying this as well. But they also say, Ian, that they're there to help other people, because if they really want to save the planet, then they've got to follow the road of the red man and learn to live in harmony with the planet instead of using it as a, how can I put it, as a gold mine. When I mean a gold mine, something to be plundered and just abused and used.
Yeah, but you're going to have to get literally billions of people to relinquish the way of life that they believe is the right way of life. They're going to have to relinquish the possessions and articles that they believe evidences their self-esteem, evidences their success, evidences their, if yeah. you like, prowess in life. But they mean, I mean, you're a man I know that has very little interest in possessions. You like to have a nice classical motor car, but you keep that for many, many years. It's not as if you are craving to buy things at any moment. You know, your house is beautiful, but it's very simple. You're not materialistic. I mean,
I used to be here, to be quite honest. And I'm sorry to interrupt there, but yeah, I did used to be very materialistic because I used to enjoy buying things. But as I've got into my own journey now, I realise that these are just trappings. And I would like to say, Ian, that in the future, when people do take or they do come into their spiritual journey, that you will find a lot of these people and a lot of the young star children that are coming along today aren't going to be materialistic. And this is already being showed, Ian, that consumerism will eventually, how can I put it, it will vanish because people want to get back to nature. The seeds are already being sown, Ian. And if you listen to what people have said during the COVID lockdown, this has given a lot of people time to reflect on their own way of life. The number of people that I've heard say to me this year that they've been able to sit in the garden and listen to the birds singing and look at wild animals that have come into the garden, you know, hedgehogs and other small mammals or foxes and things. They've always been too busy to notice this. So, again, there is a shift, Ian.
Yes, there is. I mean, I've started to use a phrase that I've written about in another article, which is coming out later, and it's called consumerism will eat itself. It's the Ouroboros. It's got to consume itself because you can't have it's self-perpetuating consumerism, because ultimately you need to have an input of money for people to spend to buy the consuming goods. And as we're looking at our world at the moment, people have been separated away from earning a reasonable income. And while supported by governments borrowing money, if that support had been removed, then this world would be in a depression, a recession beyond all comprehension. And I don't think people are actually looking back and realizing the connotations of what's happening. I don't think that people understand just how fragile their existence. And yet when you look at the Native American Indian, the Native South American Indian, the Aboriginally, these people still have methodologies where they could survive with very little, and they could survive without concern about consumerism. The majority of the world is completely and utterly in that circle of consumerism, and if it stops, the whole world comes to a very quick standstill indeed, Alan. And I think that people should be seriously contemplating the long-term connotations of what is happening here. And nobody's getting the message. While everybody's talking about vaccines and isolations and things of that, they don't realise that actually what it means is they've got nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, no escape, they're trapped.
Yes, and I quite agree. That is very true. And this this all comes back down to the same thing. Again, we are being manipulated. The ego is doing this. And it's a merry-go-round. But as I said, Ian, the cracks might not be very big, Ian, but there are cracks in it, and people are beginning to wake up. And as you say, when I talk to people, there are a lot of people now who are aware of what's going on. There's an awful lot of people who aren't and aren't interested. Mm. I'm sorry to say, but if they aren't interested and they don't want to know, then I don't pursue it any further with them, because that's their journey. Mm. And one day they'll wake up, whatever happens, whether it's in this life or in another one. But you have to think that there is change, and it's like an acorn. It's very little, but you plant the acorn in the soil, and eventually that acorn will grow into a big oak tree with many branches, which will also produce acorns that will spread. And that's the thing that's got to happen here.
Yes, I do agree on that. But the other thing that people miss as well is that this so-called industrial revolution, this major changes from basic feudalism and religion systems to where we're at now, has really only occurred over the last 350 years. In this, again, we come down to this time scale. It's just nothing in the big scheme of things. And 350 years hence, we could be quite easily back to a situation where we had low populations and a totally simplistic and different lifestyle, Alan.
Yes, I agree with you, Ian. And I think that the world's population will have to shrink, because we are overpopulated on this planet. There's no two ways about it. But it's a difficult one to answer, because we seem to go from one crisis to another. It's either a war or a pandemic of a disease or natural catastrophe. These things seem to be reoccurring, and we just seem to be on the edge of it. And it's like, how can I put it? I saw the film The Fall of the Roman Empire back in the 60s. In fact, I've got it on DVD. And in the film, there's a part of it where everybody's in the forum doing the dance. They call it the Tarantella, which is an Italian dance. And they're doing all this dancing and celebrating while the empire is falling down around them and they're not aware of it. That is the same thing that's happening today with the planet, Ian. A lot of people are doing the Tarantella and enjoying themselves, not thinking, and they don't realize that everything is starting to fall down around them, environmentally, politically, economically, religiously, and socially. And it's one of the facts that there is. And as I say, there are people today that are aware of it, a lot of well-known people that are trying to bring it to our attention one way or another. And as I say, I just hope that some of the younger generations coming along now, what I call star people, and these are people that are now reincarnating because they have got a message to do and deliver on this planet. Mm-hmm. Because if we are going to save the planet from a disaster, then this is what we've got to do. I don't see how we can, as a planet, expect to explore our immediate neighbourhood in space, like Mars or any other of the known planets, if we've still got the attitude that we've got today, because there are beings out in the universe who are far, far more technically advanced than us and spiritually. Yeah. They don't want to see us coming along with our warlike ways and grab this and do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're talking about using the moon for getting minerals out of. Again, it's the same mentality. The mentality has got to change right to the very top.
I agree. You see, to me, if you look at the world as it's become, it is a whole planet that's just been raped and it has been abused and it has broken, it can easily repair itself, because if we see a road that's not used anymore, within 20 years you'll see trees growing through it and break it down. And I think that when I ever see that, I always think there's a big message here, a really big message, because it's saying it doesn't matter how much you think you can control nature, nature absolutely can overwhelm you. We cannot bring the species back that have died. We can't do that. But my feeling is, and it's a big concern of mine, that a lot of the environmentalists and a lot of the activists, they don't use intellectual capacity to persuade people. They use the word fear. We're watching fear at the moment. The organisations that organise our lives, they are using fear to control us. And it's interesting that everybody seems to use the fear tactic to try and control, where it would be far easier, in my mind, to say, I tell you what, you get on with it, do whatever you want to do, live how you want to live, but don't expect support. Because you see, it seems to me that the minority support the majority, and because the minority care, they're the only people who are holding it together. It's almost like a spiritual parallel, isn't it? And I think that fear makes them do a little bit. But you walk along a street at night, everybody's got the house, the lights on. When it ultimately comes down to it, people will say, yes, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. But it's the royal we, and they do nothing for themselves. They've got three cars outside of their house. And, you know, they've got a bus stop and they still jump into the car. Do you see my point? The point is, there's a lot of lip service and there's a lot of people talking fear and there's a lot of people contributing, because I think charity, environmental charity, I think that's just the get out of jail card. I think, oh, well, I've given 50 quid there to it. That's my share in it. But it isn't, is it? Money isn't the answer to it. Action is the way to
not
it.
Not the answer to it. Fear is the biggest thing that they thrive on. Fear comes along with the ego, Ian. And this is what keeps these people, how can I put it? It keeps them in the place. It keeps them within the bounds of what the ego and these organisations want to keep people in. I mean, when you look at Boris Johnson on the television with those two health and safety or scientific advisors either side of him, to me they look like the Grim Reapers. They just stand there emotionless on the television talking about figures and numbers. Yeah. Well, you've got millions of people watching that, and a lot of them elderly, and not of them all comprehending. Yeah. And they're just taking all this information, what they're spewing out. And I think to myself, yeah, what harm are you doing? They don't realise, well, I think they do realise in what's happening. But as I say, it's up to the individuals, people, to think for themselves and take it on. And what can you do? You cannot literally force people to change their minds. They listen to these people because they're in a position of power.
Yeah, yeah.
But you and I, Ian, know very well that these people, how can I put it, they've got their own agenda.
Well, they have. Really, everybody understands those agendas. And to me, my inner being says I'm going to progress and do things that are right. And as far as I'm concerned, when I draw my last breath, when I go into my final sleep, I hope that people who have known me for the last 16 years or so will know that I've done things as well as I possibly can in the best possible integrity. And I think all you can do, I mean, it's like, you know, I had somebody say to me, you know, you're not living in reality. And my answer was simple. I said, the only thing that I know about reality, my friend, is it's full of things which don't work.
Yeah. I wish you'd have said that to me. I said, well, what reality do you want? Because I would have throwed the question back to them. Yeah. I'd say, come on, tell me, what reality do you want me to live in?
Yeah.
I already am here. I see the reality.
Yeah.
Also, don't buy into a load of rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can't see the bloody wood for the trees, my friend, then I'm sorry, but, you know, on your bike. Yeah. And that's all you can do here.
Yeah, I suppose it is all perspective. So, Alan, we feel that the route ahead is not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination, but providing that we do things which are right for ourselves and we follow good humankind values and do things which are right for the whole of humankind, even if you are just that grain of sand on a beach, then you will have an effect and there will be people who see that you do the right things. And I think that that is probably the few words to close our podcast on. Alan, anything else you need to say before we say goodbye?
Yes, I just want to add one thing to what you said about the grain of sand. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond of water. The pebble drops and then it causes the ripple effect. Same as throwing a stone across a lake, it causes a ripple effect. So that in itself can bring forward change. And I'll leave it at that, Ian.
Mr. Alan Wood, thank you so much for your time. Will you come back and have another podcast with us later?
Yeah, I would love to.
Great.
We've got to carry our work on, Ian.
We must.
And I'd just like to add this, that I do feel cut off from our community all over the country at this point in time. And that is something that I find very difficult. So having that connection is very, very important. If people want to contact me, Ian, I would be more than happy to speak with them or email them or what have you.
Excellent.
That's what I'm here for.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you, Alan. All the contact details will be on the podcast and I will be seeing you in February. Thank you very much and we'll speak soon, Alan.
Bye.
Bye.